So, I mean, look, this way, what are those things?
We covered eggs, we covered fish.
We're talking about now bread. Bread was made by goyim. So, we said there's two types of bread that's made by goyim. There's bread that's called pat parter, which is made by a goyish baker in the bakery. And then there's no problem with you getting close to him, marrying his daughter, and getting, I don't know, whatever it is, right? Because it's just like a beggar, you go, you pay, you leave. Of course, we're talking about a situation that the bread is kosher. Kosher ingredients. Can, if it's not kosher ingredients, obviously you can't have it.
How do you know whether the ingredients are kosher or not?
So if it's a, let's say a little town, there's a little bit of Jews in there, and they have an agreement with the baker. With a certain oven, and that he makes only a baguette in there. A certain type of bread. You can trust it. Today, in this generation, is very difficult. Depends which country you are. In Israel, for example, you can't eat flour without sifting it. There are countries that could eat flour without sifting it. Cold countries.
What does it mean when you have the flour? It's not vacuum packed, but it's just the vacuum.
That means that it's if it was going to Eretz Israel, it was done Tumas and Maislos, it's not Shvis.
But I mean, it's holy. If you saw.
You could put out a plate and check.
It's not vacuum packed, you have to check.
Of course.
Or has it been frozen since the beginning?
Not since the beginning.
Since
no, if you put it in the freezer, not even the freezer, even in the fridge. Or first in the freezer and the fridge.
Yeah.
In the first 24 hours that it was made, then buy it. You don't have to check it.
So what if you're buying it from somewhere that's...
That's what I buy. What?
You're buying it from somewhere that's confusing. I don't know before where that was, but it's been kept in the freezer from where I buy it from.
No, you have to know that it was in the freezer when it was made.
Is it?
In Chata Aretz.
Is that green?
They also have green. Depends what you put.
Have a bag green.
They have a bag green, they have brown. Depends which flour you get.
I think it's the same one. It's not vacuum packed?
Nope.
You know it's in the freezer?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because that's what they say. They have a hechsher for that.
It says it on the bag.
That you don't need to check it.
No.
You don't need to check it. It was in the freezer.
But by like 6 packs of gold.
Usually, if you don't have to check it, not usually. If you don't have to check it, it says it on the bag with the hechsher.
But seem like you're in a small town like Cambria, and there's no Jews there. Can you trust the bread?
No. Depends what he's doing. It's a bakery, you know. You don't know what he's doing over there. Today is a big problem because it used to be that the ingredients of bread were maybe 3 or 4 ingredients. They're very simple to follow if it's kosher or not. But today, each loaf of bread has more than 200 ingredients many times.
And have it be in plastic or poison?
Over 200. Mm-hmm. Yeah, available to it.
Dough conditioners.
Huh?
200
ingredients. Loaves of bread from the bakery have over 200 ingredients in them.
They're not listed.
No.
They're called tamtziyot.
All these things, there's less than a certain percentage, so it's...
They're only tamtziyot. And the tamtziyot, they're made by 100 different tamtziyot.
Uh-huh.
The simplest bread from Angel, has a bit over 100. That's the simplest one.
Simplest, right?
As you got from a...
My wife makes bread. There's maybe 5 things in there. There's flour, there's water, sometimes there's oil, depends which type of bread. Sugar, a little bit, salt. So, what else? And yeast.
Versus modern ingredients, you have dough conditioners, you have risers.
It's balagan. So today in this generation, if you don't know what's going on there, you can't eat it. In South America, there's a baguette that the Israelis who were roaming around there who wanted to eat kosher, they say, oh, this baguette is okay. What's the problem? The problem is that in South America, a lot of times they don't use vegetarian oil. They use animal oil. Animal
lard.
Fat.
Pig fat.
Pig fat, not only pig, all kinds of things. Sometimes they smear it on top, sometimes they use it in the oven, there's nothing kosher over there.
Donkey.
Yeah, this is a baya.
jackal.
So, what I'm telling you, that you can allow to eat parter, it's if it's kosher. If you don't know it's kosher, you cannot eat it in any case, because you can't eat that kosher. But Chazal tells us, we allow to eat parter, you can be lenient if there's no other bread. It's in a situation where you know that it's kosher. Anyway, what's considered bread that a goy made, but still it's not considered a bread that a goy made. So a few things. If a Jew does one of the three things according to Ashkenazim, he lights the oven, or he puts the dough into the oven. He puts the dough in the oven even according to Sfaradim. Or he didn't light the oven, but he goes there and he raises the temperature. He raises the temperature. So that's considered also he's being part of it. Even the goy did everything. If a Jew did one of these three things, it's good. It's considered.
The Ramah.
What is Fadno? Putting in the oven also can Fadno.
Putting temperature in the oven.
Temperature and just lighting it is only Ashkenaz. It's not that you need to put it in the oven, Mamash. There's a little town called Aix-les-Bains in France. A very famous town. There's a yeshiva there. I don't know if it's how many years. I don't know, many, many years. Beautiful place. Beautiful. In the valley, in the mountains. Yeah, very nice. And the guy told me there. I saw it. He goes to the bakery. Goyish bakery. And he buys breads. I said, how do you do this? And also in Chile. In Chile, the Rav. I was there by the Rav. And he goes into the Goyish store where everything is nothing. And they have a section, kasher. The Goy, everything going over there. Yeah, but there's a Jew who comes and does something. And they know that how to do it, whatever. I'm not saying it's badatzai dacharedit, but it's kosher. If that's what you have, it's kosher. Okay?
What I used to do is we would turn on the stoves. We would separate challah. And that's it.
Who put it in?
They would put it in.
Ashkenazi, they must speak.
It's RCC. But, you know, I didn't know any better.
Yeah. Ashkenazi, yeah.
Radio Corporation of California.
No, we're going to go to Council of California.
If it's an oven with fire like it used to be, not only gas fire, I'm talking about like coals, once a Jew put even one little case down, one little piece of wood inside, the whole day, you could bake, you know, even if the fire went out, it's just coals, and you lit it again, put it up, but there's still the same coals from the beginning of the day, because still it's considered pati sleh. But today, that you turn the knob on, once you turn it off, a Jew has to turn it back on. And a lot of times, I saw in pizza places, between pizza and pizza, if it is a few minutes, he turns it off. Why should he waste electricity? Right? So, if it's a guy doing it, if he turns it off, if he works, an Arab works in a place, and he turns it off and turns it back on, it's a patakum. It's you're allowed to eat it, that was not the best.
Does anyone come in more often than once a week? Or once a month?
In these places? I don't know how it works, it's usually Rabbanut.
I used to work in a restaurant, we had that problem, like the fire would go out and one of the guys would want to light it, one of the workers would want to light it because they have to make pizza, they can't wait for the Mashkiach. So we always had a Shomer Shabbos on staff, who was considered like Mashkiach TBD, and then we had the Mashkiach who would come in, you know, once a day or once a week to check.
There was always someone knows
always
that.
There had to be a Shomer Shabbos there so that when the fire went out, they would ask him to light it and not light
they
it.
Knew.
So,
they knew.
The workers knew.
Also, I worked also in a catering. Mashgiach wasn't always there, even though it was Mehadlin. He goes, not always there. Now they have to cook, it's a catering. But there's Arabs over there, they knew. They said, they called me, Tadlik Taesh.
Right.
At least for the RCC, for the major restaurants, we always had a Mashgiach there full time.
That's the best.
Which was really hard because they were old. We had to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning for butcher shops.
So.
and I made a few mistakes at the time.
There's one. There are situations when a person is allowed to eat pat akum of balabait. We said there's two types of pat akum. There's pat akum of a baker, which is a lot more lenient, and pat akum balabait, which Chazal was very strict about.
Yeah.
Guy makes it in his house, or even if it doesn't make it in his house, you're eating it in his house. You need to mix it in the bakery. Let's say it's kosher. Yeah? But if a person is in a place and there's no bakery and there's nothing there, he's stuck now and he's there for 2 days now here, what is he going to do? What is he going to eat? And that's the food to eat now. And there's no fruits and vegetables. It's in Europe, it's in the winter and 100 years ago. Okay? And fruits, there's potatoes maybe. Okay? So in that situation, if there's no place, 18 minute walk, yeah, to meet, what's going on? Arba mil, 4 mil away. It's an 18-minute walk away. There's no food. And there's no other bakery. The diavad, he could eat that bread. Okay. Good, Yofi. That's regarding bread. Now we're going to talk about, not bread, rather, bishulei akum, cooking of goyim. The Easter was like this. Tavshin shi nitvashel adei goy. Right? Food that was cooked by a goy. A dish that was cooked by a goy. Even in the house of a Jew, even if it's in the Jewish kelim, right? The Jews' pots. Chazal say, you can't eat it. Why? Because perhaps the goy put in there something else. Okay? There's a story of the kings, I don't know if Spain or something, one of his ministers was a Jew. And the Jew, what happened? He was very interested in Judaism, interested in halacha, the laws of the Judaism, Jewish laws. So he used to ask him questions, and he asked him, well, why don't you eat milk that was milked by us? Says, no, because I don't want to tell, whatever. He didn't want to tell him, he doesn't want to get offended. No, tell me. Says, because we're worried that maybe it's milk not from a kosher animal. Really? Yes, it could have been up to him. So, he tells him, he calls him over one day and he brings milk to him. And he says, I get confused. It's like this. He called his minister and he told him, he gave him milk to drink. He said, no, I don't want this. Why not? I didn't want to tell him. I was embarrassed. He told him, no, because our sages told us that we're afraid that maybe he was put in other milk, whatever. He said, what? I don't have any other animals. The only animals I have is goats. Yeah, I know, but I can't. Let's call the servant, the lady who milks the cows. And he called her and he told her, what do you do? Which milk did you put in here? He says, the milk from every day. They're yelling at her, no, which milk did you do? The truth is that it was lucky that the cows kicked it and it spilled some of it. So I went to my house and I milked the donkey and I added it in. Anyway, so he said, the Chachmei Yisrael, they're so smart. A different story was that he asked them that you don't eat basal shenitaleh min ha'ayin. A different story. You don't eat meat that was, even for 1 minute, a Jew didn't see it. If you can't recognize it, it's the kosher meat, you're not allowed to eat it, right? So this king also, he called this thing, he said, come, let's eat. I can't eat with you because we're Jews. No, bring your own food, everything, or whatever. You'll supervise the cooks and everything. Fine. So he put a table over there. He put a table and he served him the food. Now the table was on one leg in the middle, one leg table, round table, and he was in one place and the Jew was in another place. Very close. And then he tells you, oh, look at that beautiful bird. And there was a bird there, whatever. And then he moved the table because it was around. Because on a tzir, on a...
Turn the tables over.
Yeah, he keeps turning around. And then the Jew turned back, and then he didn't say anything, he didn't eat. So tell him, why aren't you eating? Kosher, you checked it, everything's good. No, we have a law that if it was missed, I didn't see it for 1 minute, can't do it. So he said, ah, Chachmei Yisrael is so smart. He could like move the table around. Another story was someone in our days, I don't remember which tzaddik it was. One of the Yisrael, Mechel Kamenetsky, I don't remember, was flying. I don't remember who it was. And his wife made him meat patties.
Oh, it was Rav Mekomi for some kehillah.
Yeah? Anyways. Yeah. I read it somewhere, I don't remember where it was. And then his wife made him meat patties.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he had bread also, like a sandwich. So he put on his chair, and then he went to wash. And he came back, and he put them back into the bag, and didn't eat them. So the guy next to him is telling him, why aren't you eating your food? And the guy is eating this food from an airplane, you know? Hot food here. Why aren't you eating your food from home? He said, I didn't want to tell him, I didn't want to get offended. And then he told him, listen, our sages told us that we, the meat was here, maybe someone switched, I don't know, this, that. So the guy said, I have to admit that, I looked at it, you're so good, your meat. I changed. I took one, I put in yours, a different one than yours in the airplane. I don't know, is it true?
He knows that the airplane patties are bland, practically tasteless, and this smells so good.
Right, so he stole the one and he switched.
Kavat Achila, he switched one.
Maka, oh, but something's gay.
Kid,
yeah, he became a Yikami converted.
So he asked the Sinhav, I have to give you continuity after the flight somewhere. Your sages were phenomenal.
2,000 years ago, right?
And then a few months later, he called and says, I've got to be Jew, and he's starting the Gior process.
Yeah, he became a convert. From that story, he became a convert.
Yeah.
Amazing. Anyways, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, it's a chumrah. It's more than bread. Bread is, of course, everyone was considered bread is a part of your life, you know? So that's what they say, right? So it's more lenient. But bishulei akum, cooking of akum, is not lenient at all. It's strict, very strict in it. We don't have bishulei akum at all. What's considered bishul asu? What's considered bishul? Cooking, which is considered prohibited if a guy did it. Roasting, frying, baking. Okay? Those three things are considered bishulakum. But if something was salted, okay, or smoked, is also considered cooking. Once again. No.
Salting is considered cooking. No. It's 24
no.
hours.
As no.
Salt?
Salting is not considered cooking regarding bishulakum. He says here?
No,
yeah, kvisha, if it's more than 24 hours, that's also not considered cooking. And also smoked is not considered cooking. You have smoked fish from a goy, perfect, you're allowed to have it. It's not considered mishulei akum.
Let's say all the airlines, not medical, you all that kosher food. They put you in the microwave.
But it was cooked before.
I understand it's two times packed.
It's not heated? To heat up, you're allowed to. To heat?
To eat.
Yes.
Why not?
Because the microwave is not kosher.
Yeah, but it's wrapped up. If you have in your house a meat oven, and you take now lasagna, and you wrap it well twice, you can cook it in there.
Right.
With meat together.
Double wrap.
Except for one thing. With the airlines, what they do is they puncture the... So
if they puncture, you can't eat it.
Exactly. That's the main problem they had, because they puncture it to let the steam out. They puncture it before it goes in.
In this area,
they
make a hole sometimes.
That's the biggest problem that they had with airlines.
I remember when we went, I don't remember which airline, I flew in South America or something.
Fly a lot.
And they, she opened it to cook it. She gave it to us that, I don't know, she got 11 hour flight, we ate chocolates. Could we at least a chocolate 11 hours with kids?
Right.
Anyway,
that must really be hard for them.
When we flew from Costa Rica to Argentina, So then there's no kosher airline in Taka Airlines. Taka is a Peruvian airline. We put Peru and Peru to. So there's a guy named Baruch Schechter. You know who he is? He's the brother of Yaakov Meir Schechter. And he lives in San Jose, in Costa Rica. He's a shochet, he's a mayor. I can trust his shechita. His father was a big tzaddik, his brother's a huge tzaddik. He told me, you know Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter? I said, of course. That's my brother. So really, what are you doing here? Anyway, so he has like a little butcher. He said, I don't make a lot of money. I make money from somewhere else. I have a lot of money. I make this as a service for the Jews who come around. They should have kosher food. He has like a deli place. So he made us hot meals for the plane. And I didn't eat it up. It was hot. It was warm.
He's still there?
If he's still alive. He's still there. Yeah, he wasn't so old. He was in his maybe 60 years old.
Yaakov Meir needs tefillah.
Pardon? Yaakov Meir needs tefillah. He's weak. He's very weak.
He's pretty mildly.
Yeah, I know.
Hard.
He has a heart for Allah, honestly.
For years, he's hard. Yeah, he takes Israel as hard.
Yeah, he speaks to his son all the time, right?
You ever do tashlim with him?
No.
I did.
You know what? No, here.
Yeah.
I was never here. I always go to Oman.
It was 1 year I didn't make it.
Ah, so you went with him. You did it in the shul. Where did he do it?
In Meir Shalim, because he's a little place where you have the bricks went under the street.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Right? So Shalom has to do that. Okay.
Yeah. He's not here. The body's there, but you know, you see this.
Yeah.
He's not going to be in this world when he's going here.
It's things which are cooked like with the light. Or with the heat. I consider cooking.
Well, the heat lamp only goes up to like 140 degrees.
That's not considered cooking. For example, in South Africa, they make a food that's called biltong. You heard of biltong? It's dried meat. Raw.
Jerky.
Yeah. Salted, raw, whatever. It's pretty good. Probably very unhealthy. But, that's what they have. So there's no bishul akum there. How do you say keto in English?
Steam.
Steam. Steam cooking, as machlok is in the posting, you're allowed to be lenient. This thing called steam cooking. So.
Well, that's how they make most processed cereals.
Steam, also rice cakes. Rice cakes also steam. Rice cake is steamed. That's how they make it. On Bar Ilan, there's a machine that makes rice cakes there.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really cool. On the spot, a hot rice cake, a little machine. Interesting, huh?
There's a Marcos from Baltimore.
Yeah?
And they have a lot of bakeries. Yeah, but you can buy kosher bread in all the grocery stores.
Right.
No matter which one you go to.
They so bring from the Jews.
Right.
So they have a kosher chef section.
So there's this one company that make, it's the biggest bread maker on the East Coast. He's headquartered in Baltimore. And he's got three hash marks. You know, OU, OK, and Huffy. So once they started, the three hash marks started fighting with each other over how much they should charge him. And he said, you know, for years, he says, you know, whatever the fee was, I paid it. He says, now you guys are fighting among yourselves for the way you should charge me. Because he said, you know, I've got my accountant. He's going to put everything together in a report, which I'm going to file. I'm going to have printed in the newspapers on the East Coast to talk about, you know, your fees and what benefits I receive, benefits you receive, and
I guess they calmed down.
Yeah, they calmed down. Because this guy, in addition to that, he supported every issue with the game.
He's a Jew.
Right, Jeff. No.
He's a goy.
But he had so much money in baking on the East Coast, so that everything he made in his bakery was kosher, including cakes and pies, everything.
He just made everything kosher to begin with, that's all.
He made everything kosher because he said that Israel was good to him when he started out. He bought his ovens from Israel. And he had this real close. I knew him. I mean, so it was
interesting.
A very lovely guy.
Is he still there?
I don't know if he's still alive. He's in his, if he was, if he is, he's in his 80s by now. Did you live a long life?
What paper is it?
HMS. So, so every day in yeshiva, there's a yeshiva, he used to get a delivery of free bread. Every day. I don't know how many students there, 600, 800 students. Every day, there's a free delivery bread to the yeshiva. You really like Jewish people.
If someone doesn't keep Shabbos and he cooks for you, you allowed to eat it or not?
That's not my question.
So it depends. If he's Stam not Shomer Shabbos, you're allowed to eat it. If he's a Reform, or he's some other cult which is against Judaism, you're not allowed to eat it. It's like a goy.
So if a
goy cooks again, you can eat it.
You can't eat it, but if a...
No, if a Jew which does not keep Shabbos, Stam doesn't keep Shabbos.
He has the status of a goy.
He doesn't have a status of a goy.
You can eat it.
Yeah. If a goy, if a Jew, let's say, you have family which are not religious?
Yeah.
Not Reform or not religious. Stam, Jews.
Yeah.
Good. He comes to your house and he says, listen, I know how to make this really delicious thing. Everything's kosher. He makes it in your house, your fish, whatever. You're allowed to eat it. It's not considered Bishur Akum. But if you have family that comes and he's in a Reform community, right, and he goes over to the rabbi over there, he can't eat his food. His cook that he cooked. Or if you need any other cult, I said this already in this room. I hope everyone hears this online where they post cat, whatever cat post, whatever we call it.
JerusalemCast.com.
Yeah. Everyone should know this.
So, Reform, Reconstructionist, Conservative.
No, Conservative we didn't say. Conservative is a Stam, Chioni. Of course, it's better if someone keeps Shabbos cooks for you, yeah? But even if not, you're allowed to. But if it's Reform, or if it's someone who a different cult which is against Judaism, let's say he's Jewish, but he's Christian. He goes according, he believes in the Yimach Shem and Yeshke. Or so he's Jewish, but he's a Buddha, I don't know what, something.
Jews for Jesus.
Yeah, whatever it is. Then he can't eat it. Okay, you're allowed to eat it, because they're not against Judaism. They're just they like to do whatever they want. The Reform, they say the Orthodox are wrong. No, we're the right Jews. That's the difference. Conservative, just they're like Chiloni. Okay. Regarding Bishule Akum, cooking of a goy. Okay.
So they food the goy is cooked, not the eating.
What?
Cooking. I don't mean like candle.
What?
People being
camped.
People that eat people.
Tough.
We have a chapter on that in our cookbook. Neighborly cooking.
Tough. Right though. Bishul Akum is only in two conditions.
The only what?
There's two conditions in Bishul Akum. Number one, Avram, you could move to a place where I could see you better if you want. One, the food that is cooked cannot be eaten raw, only cooked. That's one condition. If it could be eaten raw, there's no bishul akum. For example, carrots. There's no bishul akum with carrots because you can eat it raw. Right? Potatoes is a problem. And fish is a problem. Meat is a problem. You can't eat it raw. Water, no problem. Why? You could drink water without heating it up, right? If we go to a guy's place and they make you coffee, kosher coffee. Coffee is kosher usually, right? Make you coffee, let it eat it. You don't drink it. Why? You don't have to cook it.
With the boiled water.
That's what I said.
It's okay.
Yeah, you can eat it raw.
He's cooking it.
You can eat it raw.
Yeah.
So there's no issue with that. It's something you can eat raw. Number two, it has to be a type of food which is considered important food, that it goes on the table of important people. If it's something that's not considered important food, okay, there's no bishul akum. Now, that's a very...
subjective.
How can we... What's considered important? Is tuna fish considered important or not? Maybe sardines, because it's not considered so important. Sure. Sardines. Not so important, but other things. How could he know if it's important, not important? Let's see. He's going to go through the details in a second. Cooking by a microwave is considered cooking, by the way.
Microwave?
Microwave, yeah. Someone, if a good cooks for you something in the microwave, right, and something you cannot eat raw, and it's something which is considered important food, so you can't eat it.
Cannot.
Bishul is only with a kli rishon, meaning you have it sitting on the fire. Okay?
So, like, if you have a goy pop in a frozen TV dinner into a microwave.
Was it cooked before?
You know what?
You don't cook a frozen TV dinner.
Exactly, it was cooked already. If it's cooked already, if it's just reheated, even though you can't eat it like this, you must heat it up, still it's not considered bishulah. Something, yes, it was before by a Jew.
So, like anything in a prepackaged, like microwave popcorn, where you just simply open it up, put it in.
It's not considered bishulakum, anyways. Why not?
It's not important.
Exactly. That's definitely not important. So, now let's go ahead. Something which most people. What time is it? So, tomorrow. Tomorrow is.
Wednesday.
Wednesday, we're going to go back to doing the Arayin Bulletin on Israel. I'm not going to teach on Wednesday. Thursday, I'll go back with
you. Yeah, I'm
sorry.
Teach
Wednesday. What? Wednesday, yeah. There's a shir from Nassim Maimon. Every Monday and Wednesday, shir here from Nassim Maimon from 1 to 1:30.
Right.
And then, everyone's going to go do 1 hour Bulletin on Israel, Dabin for Am Israel. Yeah, that's what Rav Alosha asked everyone to do. That's what we're going to do. We talk about it again last week. Every week, we talked about it. It's important, down for Am Yisrael, down for our fellow Jews, down for everyone, down for that everyone gets close to the light of the Rebbe, everyone gets close to Hashem. And that's all.
So you're not going to hear this?
No, I mean not this year. Thursday I go back. Someone told me a joke. You know why Breslev is also crazy people?
Aggressive what?
Also crazy people.
Crazy people. All kinds
of things like that.
Aggressive.
When there's a very bright light, also all the bugs come around.
Say it over again.
When there's a very bright light, also the bugs come.
They're attracted to the bright light.
So we're crazy because we're attracted to the bright light of Breslov.
No. Say that. Some people just sit under and they heat it up.